From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in the lovely San Francisco Bay Area.
This past week, IEEE and Spatial Energy became two of the latest organizations to announce competitions aimed at students, users, and developers of geospatial technology. Why do these competitions keep popping up? Are they good for the geospatial industry? We'll answer that question after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, bringing you truly integrated GIS and image processing from a single organization. You can easily leverage GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine in unison to construct a larger, more complete geospatial picture. GeoMedia delivers powerful GIS analysis and management, enabling you to integrate your geospatial resources. Erdos Imagine incorporates industry-leading geospatial image processing, analysis, and remote sensing capabilities. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial and register for our upcoming webinar.
So there's a great history of competitions in the geospatial arena. The first ones I remember seeing were paper competitions at conferences and map poster contests. And then as developers became more prominent, there were application contests for different applications on different platforms. And then as data became more freely available, competitions to build apps on that data became a hot thing. And some competitions are just for students, some pit students against professionals, and some have categories that separate the two. Now, before we look at the value of these competitions for the sponsors and the participants, I want to put you on the spot, Joe. When I sent you this topic, you responded to me with a four-letter word. Thankfully, we can say it on the podcast, and it was yawn.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, maybe you want to start telling me why you yawned.
We've had so many contests. It seems like these few are just the latest ones down the pike. I got to question the value of them. What's the return? I think you asked that question. Do we need another contest? How useful are they? How are they going to be marketed? It doesn't seem like they get a lot of visibility. We never seem to hear about the results. I just think that we're a little bit satiated with all of the different ones that come out. And, you know, I think we've been there and done that a lot. So I just question their value.
Now, do you think we're sort of just bored of it, looking at it from sort of the side of the media? Or do you think the people who are on the sort of receiving end, who would be participating, are also kind of overwhelmed and have had enough?
Well, I think there's two ways. One, I think, we see everything that comes down the pike, and we're a little bit biased in terms of what we've seen and how they're promoted. On the other hand, I certainly see the value to the people who could participate, because it is a way to get people involved and to show off your stuff. And but what I would like to see is a little variety to the offer. I think we're somewhat limited, maybe almost constrained by the technology, but I just have a real question as to what the participant would get out of it, just because, you know, it's just another contest. Do they really want to put in the time? Because some of these are quite extensive in terms of their time commitment.
That's true. So, and actually, why don't we take some of those questions and look at the two competitions that just happened to come up in the last week or 10 days. And the first one I want to talk about is from a company called Spatial Energy, and it announced its inaugural Remote Sensing Energy Challenge with $10,000 in total awards for winners in two categories, commercial and student. The competition seeks to identify new remote sensing technologies with the potential to assist oil and gas companies in meeting the increasing demand for energy. And there are four key application areas they want you to suggest an idea around. And the judging is based on the potential benefits offered to the oil and gas industry. And the industry winner gets $7,500 and the student winner gets $2,500. Now, that sounds like if you have this great energy idea, are you going to give it away to these guys for that kind of money? If you read the detailed print, when you agree to do this, listen to this. By submitting an entry, you grant to Spatial Energy a non-exclusive royalty-free right to use any ideas or concepts incorporated in your entry and agree not to make any claims that any future Spatial Energy products or services infringe any rights in such ideas and concepts. Spatial Energy shall have the option, by written notice to you, to use, further develop, commercialize, distribute, and transfer such rights and any products or services incorporating any such ideas or concepts on reasonable terms and conditions. That reads to me like you're giving away your big idea to us.
Yeah, and based on the fine print there, I would essentially ignore this contest, unfortunately. However, if I was in the energy industry, I might find it intriguing to participate from the standpoint that, okay, let's think of what we can do. But unfortunately, the fine print really precludes a lot of the commercial industry, which part of the contest is. In fact, the biggest prize money is $7,500 for a commercial entry. If you read the fine print, I would have real second thoughts. From a student point, yeah, sure, go for it.
Yeah, but even from a student point, and then it comes down to, and you made, you know, how much work do you want to put into this? And I guess my sense is, if I were a student and I'd already written a paper about my crazy idea for how to solve the energy crisis, I might submit that because I've already done the work. And if I happen to pick up $2,500, all the better.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that I was going to put any extra new energy into this.
Yeah, I like the thought of having a challenge like this. I think it's great for the energy industry. I just wish that Spatial Energy hadn't put so many constraints on it.
Right, well, and that really indicates what their goal is.
Yeah.
Which is to take advantage of this idea, potentially commercialize it, and make a lot of money. Now, one of the ways you can look at this contest is that it's crowdsourcing.
Right.
They're basically saying, we want some new ideas to try to exploit. And we'll take them from the industry, and we'll take them from students. Help us out here.
Yeah, and I would have loved this contest, having been in the industry and certainly coming out of it as a young student. I would have liked to have something like this, just because I think I would have gotten my juices going to look at these four individual areas to exploit.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens, and I agree with you that sometimes these get announced, and then you really have to dig to find the results. And sometimes there are so few entries that the organization isn't too excited to let you know that, you know, only two people actually submitted anything.
Well, and if you, like you say, if the results of the contest are going to be granted only to Spatial Energy, and if there's a really good idea that comes out of this, would they want to promote the results?
Another good point. Yeah, that's a tough one. The other contest, interestingly, is also about remote sensing, and this one is from the Geoscience and Remote Sensing Society, which is part of the International Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, the IEEE. And this one just blew my mind just trying to read what it's about. The contest is designed to investigate the potential of multimodal, multi-temporal fusion of very high spatial resolution imagery. Three data sets of three different types, optical, SAR, and LIDAR, over downtown San Francisco are made freely available by Digital Globe, Astrium Services, and USGS. They include very high resolution QuickBird, WorldView 2, TerraSAR X, and LIDAR imagery. Optical and SAR data sets will be composed of a total of 8 images from 2 acquisition times in 2007 and 2011. So what you have to do is take this data and write a paper about it. And if you win, the winning teams will be eligible for up to $800 and an open access publication on IEEE GRSS journal worth $3,000. And they're very excited to announce that 500 users from universities and corporations across the globe have registered in just over a month.
I think you can take this from two different ways. I think you could play devil's advocate on both sides of the fence here. I don't think this is anything great or new in terms of integrating technology. This is what you're supposed to do with remotely sensed imagery of varying spectral resolutions. You should try to integrate this. So I applaud them for bringing this to the community and saying, look, what's the best we can do with all of these variety of remotely sensed data types? Because they are out there. People want to know what to do with them. And people may not understand how to do remotely sensed data integration. We used to do this all the time, kind of for play and for research, back when I was a student and starting my career. So, yeah, great. On the other hand, there's a lot of work to be done here. So it's not, this is not an easy process. And you got to have access to very, very good image processing software to get this kind of a contest off the ground.
Yes, that was exactly my thought. And the fact that 500 people have registered to me says 500 people have downloaded the data.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That doesn't mean they're going to do anything with it. And if I understand this right, really the question is, okay, so you've got these three different kinds of data from two different time periods over this one geography. And the question is, what can you do with it? Is that right? Is that really what they're asking? What can you do?
Yeah,
with
yeah. So in that sense, the contest is not really well defined. There's no box around this contest. It's not exploring one type of application like we saw in the spatial energy one, like environment or whatever. This is here. It is integrate it. Let's see what you got. Okay, it's over San Francisco. It's maybe left up to the participant to say, well, what in San Francisco is of interest?
Right. And it almost makes me think, I mean, if you go back to the organizations that made the data available, Digital Globe, Astrium, USGS, and others like them, this is sort of one of the challenges that they have right now is we have all this imagery and all this these different kinds of sense data, and we're not even sure what you can do with them yet. So the IEEE is, in a sense, sponsoring, again, a crowdsourced effort to figure out what you could do if you have these three different sets of data.
I think this is a good time to put a focus on the types of remotely sensed data that we have. It's only becoming more numerous. It isn't becoming less. The spectral resolution is improving. The spatial resolution is improving. We've got different airborne and spaceborne platforms that are now coming into use, and that's only going to increase. And whether it's from a UAV or whether it's from a microsatellite that has persistent surveillance, the problems and challenges we're going to have with data acquisition and integration are only going to increase. And as commercial space becomes more of a phenomenon in just the overall Earth observation market, these types of things are going to be real challenges for vendors and users. So I applaud them. I wish they had put a little box around this contest and more with more specificity.
Well, and what you said highlights one of the reasons that this contest may even be out there, which is simply to say, guess what? You can get data for San Francisco from these different kinds of sensors for these two different time periods.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And if that gets people's wheels spinning, students or industry, just knowing that stuff is out there, which they may or may not know, can be very valuable. And a lot of the other contests, I think, are really about, hey, we've got this open data. And the fact that we're having a contest is just another way to say to the world, we have this open data. And if we happen to get a great app built on it, great. If we don't, it was a PR effort. Same thing for APIs. We have a new API. Build something with it. But half of what they're saying is, we have a new API.
You know, I think what we're saying is that while the contests are somewhat a yawner, there is some real value to them in many respects. So I'll we'll come full circle back to that maybe as a conclusion, but I think we're convincing ourselves that some of these contests are could be quite useful.
Well, I do think there's use, and I think maybe the most value you could get from this is simply the PR value. Just getting the word out that this is a question. This data is out there. This API is out there. We're a company, and we're out there, and maybe we can help you. I am less convinced that those who participate and win necessarily get this huge leg up. One of the winners of the NavTech LBS Challenge a number of years ago apparently was Skyhook.
Right.
Now, did the fact that Skyhook has been as successful as it is have to do with the fact that it won the NavTech LBS Challenge? I don't think so.
No, but a certain amount of notoriety was brought to Skyhook.
And to NavTech.
Yeah, and to NavTech. I also think Networks in Motion was a winner as well. And, of course, they were later acquired.
Yes, I think right. And it does sort of relate, you're a winner as a participant, you in fact shine your winningness back on the sponsoring organization.
Right.
So the PR sort of goes in both directions, assuming that the organization that puts on the contest has a high enough clout to begin with. So the IEEE has plenty of cloud.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. And of course, then there's the other perk of if you are a winner, then you get to talk about your award-winning map or your award-winning software or whatever, which gives you, you know, more things to say when you put out your press release about your company or your next product. Now, let's look at the value for the participants. Why do they do it?
Well, I think you just stated that it's certainly a good resume builder, for one. There may be commercial value. If you're participating in the spatial energy contest, for example, and you are a winner, I would say the investigation yields two things. One, more insights into using the data at hand, and two, methodology. It may be something you may not have explored before. Here, given the chance, you could develop a new workflow, new techniques, and you had free data to play around with to get you started. So there is some commercial value for those types of participants.
And sort of educational value.
Well, and for the students, hey, you can get a paper out of it for sure.
Right. Well, I meant educational in terms of individuals just learning new stuff, but both industry and students.
Right.
And then for many of these, if you win, you get to go to the conference and present your findings.
Right.
Which in and of itself I don't think is that important, but the networking that you get along with it could be quite valuable.
And maybe sometimes overlooked by students. It's a great introduction to networking if they can win.
Right. And the other thing that from a student building a portfolio, it just shows initiative. Hey, I saw something interesting and I didn't just pass by, I actually did something. If it was digging up my old paper and submitting it.
You know, if there's anything that the geospatial community is trying, is exactly what you just said, is trying to do more resume building. I get the picture that the whole thing with GIS certification is a way to think about your background and your status and whether you can build a professional background that is that continues to build and continues to make you a valuable employee. The current certification process is nothing more than resume building. Here's another way to do it.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. Formalizing your resume, yeah.
Now looking over the contests that you've seen, some of which I'm sure have made you yawn more than others, are there any of them that you're really excited about that you think people should know about and should participate in?
Well, there are two. One that we have on our list is the San Diego App Challenge. I found the comments posted by citizens very interesting as to what they wanted in an app. And so that kind of crowdsourcing of information before you get to the application building is, I think, very useful. Hey, I want this. I want to, you know, the typical things like I want to locate my pothole. I want you guys to know about it. Those are apps that we know and love and have been out there a while. But I think that they've crowdsourced the information gathering and then given that to the contest participants. I thought that was very good. I thought that was a very unique way to do it.
Right. It's sort of using crowdsourcing both to figure out what to build and then to have the people do the actual building.
Yeah. Which is bonus. I like that.
I'm really excited because I'm seeing contests that are sort of outside of our little world where the money and interest is coming from the industries that use GIS as opposed to the GIS industry. So, for example, General Electric is hosting something called the Healthy Imagination Challenge, which is actually very hard to say. And it's a bunch of medical applications and things. And one of them is a breast cancer geospatial application to try to get at where breast cancer is and how we can make sense of those patterns and treat or prevent, which is something that's been going on for some time. But I love seeing it coming out of big company with lots of money.
You're right. That's a good
also
point.
Really excited to see how many different redistricting challenges there were, where students or the public were basically given GIS software and data and said, okay, you draw the new districts for your state. And that's a wonderful opportunity for the public and students to get involved. And, you know, whether you win or not, you win because you actually think about what is involved in doing that, which is
isn't that a great way to participate in the electoral process?
And better understand it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was disappointed that while I saw it sort of popping up in various states, there wasn't an awful lot of interest in that I saw from the education community, which sort of disappointed me. Or maybe I didn't see it. That is also possible. All right, so next time we get a press release announcing a new contest, are you going to yawn or are you going to actually decide that it's worth sharing with the rest of the world?
Well, I'll take a second look for sure this time around.
That's all the time we have. This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, providers of GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine. GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine feature the widest range of native data format compatibility on the market and a solid commitment to open standards from OGC and ISO, providing seamless integration with current and future business systems and keeping you free from proprietary lock-in. To learn more, visit www.intergraph.com/geospatial. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine, where this podcast is hosted.
And from us here at Directions, we want to remind you that this Friday, February 10th, is our closing date for our call for presentations to the 2012 Location Intelligence Conference and the Oracle Spatial Users Conference, which will be managed by us here at Directions. So get those in. We've got a great response so far. We look forward to seeing your submission. Please do so at our conference website, locationintelligence.net.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.